Is anybody enjoying living for God? Glad to be alive in the kingdom of God. Is there anybody expecting good things? My God, I'm expecting victory. I'm expecting newness of Holy Ghost outpouring. I'm just expecting God to turn it loose in this city. We were working this morning in Psalms 119, and we will be for a while. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we're looking at areas of specific emphasis in the 119th Psalm. And we'll pick up where we left off this morning with a brief review. And let's just read for a text because we're trained that way. Verse 57, Psalms 119 and 57. Would you say, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart." Verse 59, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Verse 60, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him thanks for his word and magnify him and praise him. Are you waving at me? We interrupt our regular broadcasting here this evening. Poor Sister Pam, she has to work with me. She's one of the most efficient and organized people you ever want to work with in your life. And I am a terror to all of those qualities. So God bless you and keep you.
Praise the Lord. We're actually here to celebrate someone that just had a recent birthday, Sister Sutton, if you could come up. Just wanted to show our appreciation tonight for you. You're many examples to all of us. You're an example to us, especially the younger ladies that aren't married yet. She's a good example of those, to those that wants to be a good wife.
Amen.
Amen. To all the of her children, she's a good example to them, and a good example as a Grammy to her grandchildren.
That's
She's an example to us because she's a soul winner.
That's
right. She's a Bible study teacher.
Yeah.
I could go on and tell how she's an example to us in the house tonight. We're so glad that you have had another birthday with us. We want you to have many more birthdays
as
our pastor's wife. And we wanted to sing happy birthday to you.
Oh, a happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best shoes you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you, a happy birthday. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best shoes you've ever had.
We would like to give you a token of our appreciation, and we hope you had a very happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I guess I know what my token is. It's good, too. What y'all usually give me is just, oh, yeah. It's in there, and I do appreciate it. I have discovered the best thing about getting old, and that's grandkids. It's the very best thing about getting old. But, you know, Brother Cornwell, I think it was, taught about how we have to redefine ourselves at different stages of life and different phases of our lives. I remember when I was a young mother, because we got so many new young mothers out there, I made a promise with myself, and I redefined myself because I said, okay, it's changed the whole picture now. I have to live for God because it's not all about me anymore.
That's right.
But I've got little footsteps following me.
That's right.
It's not just about me. And when there were those days when my flesh didn't want to submit and my flesh didn't want to yield to the word of God, I thought, well, it's not all about me anymore. I want to do everything I can because I love my children enough to serve God. And I want to do everything I can to bring them to heaven with me. And, you know, the Bible says if you love God, you'll keep his commandments. And part of keeping his commandments is being submitted to your spiritual authority. And we know who that is. That's our pastor. And he was also my husband. You might think that makes it easier, but not necessarily so. But it's not all about me anymore. It was about me and my children that I dearly love. And now I'm a grandma, and I've got a new phase in my life. And I've got little grandkids. Yes. And it's not about me, just me anymore. But it's about those new little babies that's going to follow after me. I love them enough to live for God on days when I don't really... might not want to, and I want to rebel and say, my flesh gets ugly. I have to get it in line and say, you know, it's not just about you, but you got little people following behind you. You know, Calvary's enough. Calvary's enough because he died for me. But I tell you, those babies will do something to you and make you sit up straight and live right. Right, Sister Bonnie? They'll do it to you. But, I'm enjoying living for God. I'm enjoying getting old and being a Grammy. And I am just thankful after living for God for 30-something years. I don't regret one minute of it, not one second of it. I am thankful for the things I have in my life now, and I tell God all the time, all the joy and all the happiness I have in my life right now is just from your hand. You have been so open-handed with me, the Lord has. He has just been so open-handed with me and blessed me in so many ways, all the ways that count, you know. And I just love him, and I thank y'all for my birthday celebration.
I want you to know I did not forget her birthday. Just want to make that clear. I was there on the day with the stuff. And guys, if you want a hint, don't forget the birthdays. Our other important events. Well, praise God. It's so much fun coming to church. You never know what God's going to do, and you never know what's going to happen, and I love hanging with the people of God, and I love the presence of God, and I just love the whole thing. I like hanging around here sometimes when you're gone, in the afterglow of it all. It's just amazing what goes on in this place. Well, and we'll return to our normal broadcasting. You can be seated. Praise God. In each of these segments of this 119th psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, there is specific emphasis in the content, and we are highlighting those specific areas of emphasis that the writer is trying to reveal to us. And this morning, we're dealing with verses 57 through 64, and the emphasis here is strongly impacted by decision-making. So we're going to continue that this evening. We have looked at the fact that these first few verses are filled with language that speak of decision-making with this psalmist. And as we read this it resonates with us in talking about decision-making. A decision is something that cuts off all other possibilities. It is crossing over into the arena of commitment. Now, there is church going on all over this country right now that is not biblical church. It is not committed church. It is not a decision to follow after Christ. Although they're filling out cards and they're shaking hands and they're sending in reports, hundreds of thousands make a decision for Christ. But when they go to their house, their life doesn't change. And when they walk on the job, their life doesn't change. Can I suggest to you that when you make a decision for Jesus Christ, your life changes on the job, your life changes at the house. Everybody that knows you, they know that something has happened to you. You're not the same shame anymore because you've made a decision, and that decision is to obey the word of God. You don't look like the world. You don't love what the world loves. You don't go where they go. You don't follow after them. You don't dance to their music. You don't involve yourself in their areas of interest because you're marching to the beat of a different drummer. You've made a decision. Well, praise God. 57, he said, you're my portion, oh God. I don't want the portion the world has to give. And I'll encourage you, be a success in everything that you do. Be excellent in every enterprise you're involved in. Get all you can get here. But remember, God is your portion. Tell your neighbor, you can't take this with you when you go. Tell them, God is my portion. Now he said, God is my portion, and I have said that I would keep thy words. This man's made a decision. Praise God. Praise God. It's like getting married, and you understand when you marry, you make a decision. You cut off all the other possibilities. If you're fooling around, you're not really married. You had a notion. You just had a fleeting idea. You might be legally married or civilly married, but you're not really married in your heart. And when you come to God, you make a decision. There are no other gods. There is nothing else I'm bowing at the altar of. There's nothing else that crowds out my passion for God. There's nothing out there that makes me want to stay home and miss a service on a Sunday night, because nothing else is competing with my fervor for worship. Oh, yes. Well, praise God. I've come a long way living for God, and with my sweet wife, I'm looking back tonight, and I don't regret living for God. I'm not looking over my back trail and saying, oh, I wish I'd have done something else, been somewhere else. I'd have thought some other thought or got associated with a different crowd of people. I've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. I love the house of God. I love the people of God. I love this apostolic lifestyle. I love worshiping God. And I love the promise that he's given us for the other side. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, come on. You're way too late to tell me. I've already crossed over. I've already set foot in the land of commitment to God. My God, there's people going squirrely and going sideways on holiness and on the word of God and on apostolic doctrine. But let me tell you something. I've already made up my mind. I've already read the book. I've already seen the hand of God. And I believe the best is yet to come. This would be a terrible time to go sideways on the word of God. Thou art my portion. And I've said it with my mouth. I'm going to obey your word. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. We looked at Luke 14. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow after me. A cross means you're going to die. It's not a piece of jewelry. It's not an earring. It's not something on the wall or something around your neck. But a cross is an instrument of capital punishment instituted by the Roman Empire. And when Jesus said that, he said, you got to give up your life. You've got to put it on the altar. Paul said it this way. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. I know what our stinking world is telling you. They're telling you, well, it only matters what's down on the inside. You only have to worship him on the inside. But the word of God said you got to worship him on the inside and on the outside. You got to get this thing together. You got to be wholly committed inside, outside, up and down, backward and forward. Praise God. Hebrews 11 talks about them strangers and pilgrims in the earth, biding their time until they step across into the portion of God. Everybody say a decision. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, I've made a decision for Christ. Now, don't you lie. If you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you hadn't made a decision. You just had a notion. You're testing the waters. And I'm glad for people to test the waters. You need to ask good questions. And we love you. And if you're here and you're not all together, we're glad you're in the house. But if you're going to serve God, and if you're going to be the recipient of the blessing and the promise of God, you've got to make a decision. This thing won't work any other way. Praise God. Praise God. People want to talk about buying a house or buying a car, but they're not worried about you till you put some money down. Because the money down says, I've made a decision. I'm serious about this. Praise God. God's not asking for your money. He's asking for your whole life. He said, you get ready to go to war, you better count the cost. If you get ready to build a tower, you better count the cost. And he's teaching not about towers nor about warfare. He's teaching about living for God. And he said, before you do it, sit back, count the cost. Figure out what it's going to cost you. And when you get ready to come, come on in. But don't in the 6 months or year afterward, don't say, well, they never told me it was going to cost me anything. Because God's right up front. It's going to cost you everything. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. He's not interested in being the other woman. He's not interested in being the other man. He's not interested in a fling. He's not interested in a notion. He's interested in a decision. He wants a covenant relationship. How serious is he? They nailed him to a cross. They beat him with a scourge. They drove spikes into his hands and his feet. That's how serious he is. Turn to somebody and say, God's serious about him, about me. And I'm serious about him. Come on, is there anybody in the house that's made a decision? The 58th verse, he said, I've entreated you with my whole heart. God wants my whole heart, not a half-hearted saint of God. Verse 59, I thought on my ways, I turned my feet unto your testimony. Where I was going is not where I wanted to be. How I was living is not how I wanted to live. What I was getting is not something that was going to satisfy my soul. I thought about my ways and I turned and I began to follow after the word of God. That is a decision. You've got to change your life. Well, praise God. Verse 60, he said, I made haste. And in a connection or a corollary with the Passover, when you come to God, you come with your staff in your hand, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, you're ready to travel. You're ready to, well, where are we going? I don't know where God's going to take you. But I know at the end of it, you'll love it. I don't know where, is there anybody that's lived for God a while in the house that can shout amen to that? I don't know where God's going to take you, but I do know when you get there, you'll love it. Is there anybody here loving what God is doing in your life right now? The song says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Praise God. My God, is there anybody that's made a decision? You're going to live for God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we're going to move on into the chapter tonight. That was review. Verse 61, which is say, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. But I have not forgotten thy law. Praise God. Has anybody ever had any trouble living for God? Since you've been living for God, has calamity befallen you? Has trouble come your way? Has anybody endured a storm? Has anybody walked through a valley? Well, my God, they told me that if you love Jesus and trusted in him, everything good would come to you and nothing bad. If you really had faith and you really believed that nothing evil, nothing bad, nothing negative, no valleys, no problems. But that's not the word of God. That's not the word of God. Jesus was right up front with you. He said, the world's going to hate you for this. He said, the devil wants to sift you as wheat. It's not without difficulty, but I still have the word of God because I've made a decision to live for God. I know a storm's going to come, but we're just going to ride the storm out because I've made a decision. Aren't you feeling kind of queasy? Don't you think we want to turn back? No, I've made a decision. I've already decided I'm going to live for God. Amen. Praise God. You know, my wife and I have been married for 33 years? Yeah. Yeah, it's 2007. 33 years. I'm a math scholar. We don't use the divorce word. We have never said, and I've told you this before, we have never said, well, I think, you know, you keep doing that. I might have to. And she's never told me, you keep doing that, and I might have to. Slamming doors and throwing stuff. Raging and screaming. She did try to harpoon me with a wax mop one time. But that was before the Holy Ghost. That was in that 6 month period before we got the Holy Ghost. I didn't think a wax mop could do anything, but it left about a 10 inch gouge on a coffee table. That'd have been a lot of hide. But we never have, and we don't use the D word because of a word, commitment. We made a decision. So it's never been a word, and we both have an attitude. And the attitude would be, there's the door, there's your bag, I'll help you load up. You'd only use that one time. My God, if you're in an arrangement, if you're in a household and you're using that like a trump card, don't you know that's thermonuclear war? You can't just use that, because words cease to have any meaning once you do that. Nothing means anything anymore. Raging and puking all over one another and then acting like everything's okay. You've just flushed that relationship down the toilet. That doesn't mean anything to you. You've made a decision, all right? You made a decision to be devoted to your stinking ego, to your hurt feelings, to your pride. Thank you, Brother Scales. But we don't use a D word. And we don't use a D word with God. You know, things not looking too good. I may go back where I was. You know, it's the weirdest thing, funniest thing, and saddest thing all at the same time. When people backslide, they backslide to where they were when they came into the kingdom of God. If you came into the kingdom of God in the late 60s, early 70s, you go back to being a hippie. Which is really bad because nobody's a hippie anymore. I mean, the bottom line is, forget going back. You don't even know how to sin anymore. You don't know what's happening in the world anymore. You can do it, but you'll be the most uncool thing on the street. It's Pentecost does not know how to go to town. When Pentecost tries to go to town, you can see him coming a mile off. It's like, oh yeah, that's former holiness. Trying to be worldly again. Cannot pull it off. Can't do it. Might as well live for God. Come on. Come on. Are you going to make a decision? Are you going to stand straddling this thing for the rest of your experience? You can't have the joy and be one foot in and one foot out. You can't have the peace and be half in and one day out. Why don't you just dive off into this thing and see what God will do in your life? Make a decision. If you want to be single, be single. If you want to be worldly, be worldly. Be hot, be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Praise God. Brother Sutton told me to leave the church. He told me. Well, he did. He said, be hot or cold. I'm going to go out and be cold. Well, I was kind of thinking I might inspire you to be hot. My intent was not for you to leave the church. My intent was for you to shake yourself and wake up to what God has for you. You can't do this without decision. And without commitment. Praise God. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Anybody ever been robbed? That's what they take. My goodness gracious. Brother Scales got some of the funniest stories. He's got friends that were downtown Birmingham and they got carjacked. And they took all their clothes and left them naked on the side of the road downtown Birmingham. No, it's going to be, you shoot me, brother, because we ain't doing this. You just go ahead and shoot me. Mess up the clothes because they're not coming off. We're not going in our BVDs down Richard Arrington Boulevard. We're just not doing it. Not in the mood for a parade tonight, no. That's a hilarious story. But you know what they got? They got the car, they got the clothes, they got the wallet, and they got all of that. But they can't touch what God and what the Word of God has put down inside you. Jesus said, lay up treasures in the kingdom, in heavenly places, where moth and rust and robbers can't break through. My God, you can take everything I have, but you can't take what I've decided to give to God. You can touch me in my body. You can touch me in my mind, but you can't take away my commitment to God. I've made a decision. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I've still got the Word. Praise God. Tax season's coming up. They're going to rob you again. But I've still got the Word. Well, praise God. I might lose my job, but I still got the Word. I might lose my car, but I've still got the Word. Come on, does that mean anything to you? You can't steal what I've given to God. Robbers have laid upon me and robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Verse 62. Would you say, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Praise God. That sounds like a plan. Why don't we set our clocks tonight and get up at midnight? Some of you won't even be in bed at midnight. Why don't we have about a 10-minute prayer meeting at midnight tonight, all right? Everybody that wants to do that, clap your hands and shout. The devil will think, I finally got him quieting down. I'm not hearing all that noise and that worship and that prayer anymore. And then about midnight, which is his hour, which is a dark hour, which is a mysterious hour, the cry of God goes up in the camp. Praise God. At midnight, I'll rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Praise God. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, suddenly there came a tapping, as if someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Now, if that happened at 2 in the afternoon, it wouldn't be that creepy. But when you hear something rapping at midnight, midnight's got its own nuance. I got a better plan. Let's go to Warren's house tonight at midnight.
Save yourself.
Praise God. It was at midnight when the death angel passed over Egypt. And the Passover and the Exodus began. Midnight has a special connotation of darkness and mystery. But this psalmist said, at midnight, which is figuratively the darkest hour of your life. It was the midnight hour of my life, and you would know what the writer meant. I was in a night so dark. It was a midnight hour in my life, and you would know what the writer meant because it's linked with despair and darkness and mystery and desperation. But the writer said, I'm going to get up at midnight and I'm going to give thanks because of the word of God in my life. You know what he's teaching me? He's teaching me that when you make a decision in the darkest hour of your life, in the dark midnights of your life, in a night darker than 100 midnights in 100 cypress swamps, you can stand up in that place and say, but I've made a decision and I believe God. Now, I want to ask you, has anybody ever been through a midnight hour in your life? Has anybody ever gotten a call? Has anybody ever gotten a notice, a bad report, a doctor's assessment? Have you ever gotten bad news before? That's a midnight hour in your life. But I want you to know the midnight hour belongs to the word of God. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to fate. It doesn't belong to chance. It belongs to the word of God. At midnight, I'll lift up my hands and I'll magnify God. Praise God. I was out running around whatever I was doing in Baton Rouge one evening, and Sister Sutton had taken Lindsay to the doctor to see what was happening with her. She was having some difficulty, and they took her in and they immediately sent her over and had some tests run and sent her to some specialists, because in the course of the testing, they determined that she had a tumor behind her eye. And that kind of call, we didn't know what to do with that. We'd never had any tragedy in our nuclear group before or anything like that. And we'd all been blessed with health and strength and hadn't had to handle a call like that in our own home and family. And this is our baby. This is our third born. And she's about 18 months and she's a big old fat thing and just cute. And you just love her with all your heart. And the doctor says she's got a tumor behind her eye. I didn't know what my wife was doing, but about the same time she was in a hospital corridor and she was praying a prayer. And I was pulled off on the side of Airline Highway. And I was praying a prayer. And the prayer goes like this: God, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know what your plan is, But I want to tell you going in, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know where we're going to be a week or 6 weeks from now. But I want you to know that I've already crossed over. You gave her to me. And she belongs to you. I stood in front of the house of God and I dedicated her to the house of God and to the kingdom of God. She belongs to you. And God, if you want to take her, if you need to take her, if there's some reason. Now, I'm insane when I'm praying this. And I'm blubbering and I'm weeping and I'm convulsing. But I've got to pray this prayer. You've got to pray this prayer. You've got to get up in your midnight moment. You've got to stand in your Gethsemane. And it's okay if you tell God, I don't like this. This hurts. This is scary. This is driving me nuts, God. It's okay if you tell him that. He can take straight talk. He's your friend. He loves you. But at the end of it, in your Gethsemane, in your midnight, you have to blow your nose and you have to straighten yourself out and you have to say, but God, no matter what you do, I'm going to keep your law. No, I've already made a decision. You see, when you make a decision, circumstances at midnight can't change your course. When you made a decision, things and people around you can't change your course. I've already made a decision. Well, I'm going to stand in your way. Well, you can't. We're going to have trouble. I'm going to go over you, through you, or something, but you're not going to stop me. I've already made a decision. My God, I don't have to sit down and reevaluate if I'm going to live for God. I don't have to sit down and reevaluate if I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God. I've already made up my mind. That's already settled. That's already settled. Praise God. Oh, I thank God, too, that at the end of that story, I watched a team of five or six fine doctors, and I appreciate the good work that our nurses and our doctors do, and everybody that's involved in the medical field. They do such wonderful stuff. Isn't it great that we're not out in the plains or in the Pioneer area? And it's just like, well, you're sick, you're gonna die. Here, drink some kerosene, maybe that'll help. I'm glad we got somewhere to go and somebody that knows how to do the work. But I was so glad to see him standing around that baby's bed, stupefied. I don't use that word often, but it's a great word. They were stupefied. They were like, there ought to be a tumor there. This pediatric neurologist was shaking her head, and she was a little bit angry. She said, there ought to be a tumor there. There has to be a tumor there. Everything says that there's a tumor there. And I said, what do you want to do? She said, take her home. Just take her home. Well, praise God. But with the people of God, I've walked down to the graveyard. I've helped them bury their children. We've mourned and we wept together. But in the middle of that frantic weeping embrace, there has not been a discussion of, will we turn back now? There hasn't been a deliberation about, will I give up my faith? It's just midnight, but my faith and my decision will carry me through any midnight life has to offer. Clap your hands unto him. Bless his name. Come on, somebody praise it. Praise God. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him at midnight I'm going to praise him. Verse 63. I'm a companion. Would you say I'm a companion of all them that fear thee? I'm a companion of the people of God. I've made a decision. I'm a part of the church. I've made a decision. I'm a part of the people of God. I've already crossed over. You can't change my mind about that. Well, what about brother so-and-so that's so weird and does strange things? I've already made up my mind. Well, what about the failures and the backsliders? I've already made up my mind. Well, what about the nitwits and all the carnality? I've already made up my mind. I've already seen the power of God, the goodness of God, restored lives and changed households. I've already seen what God can do. I know about humanity and I know about trouble, but I've already made a decision. I'll live for God. Shake your neighbor and say, I'm a companion of all those that fear him and of them that keep his precepts. Praise God. I am a part of the people of God. I have solidarity. You can see a holy roller coming. You can meet them all over the country, and you feel that affinity. I have a solidarity with the people of God, and we rally together, not around custom, not around style. We rally around the Word of God. That's our rallying point. Look at us tonight, diverse. Look at us tonight. Crowd that's so diverse, and we have so many different interests and so many different strata of experience educationally and in terms of resource and in terms of physical health and in terms of age and ethnicity and anything. Heaven's going to be a wonderful melting pot of all kinds of people. I have made a decision to be a part of the people of God. Praise God. I've already made that decision. So it's like, I don't have to go every now and then and reevaluate and see if I want to be a part of the church. Because I've already made a decision. I don't use the D word. I don't say, well, you know what? People here are driving me nuts. I think I'm going to look for another church. I'm married to this, folks. I'm married. I don't know. You do what you want to do. You may go. You may stay. I don't know. But I'm here till the Lord comes or they drop my bald head in a casket and wheel me out of the place. I know some of you were holding on for maybe I'd leave someday, but it's not going to happen. I've already made a decision. How about you? How about you? Have you already decided that you're a companion of the people of God? Well, I'm offended. Well, get over it. They failed. Well, you're a genius. There are sick people in the hospital. My God, get over it. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of those that keep your precepts. Moses, the word of God in Hebrews 11 says he chose to embrace or share the reproach of Christ with the people of God rather and counted it better than the riches of Egypt. Praise God. I want to hang out with the people of God. Praise God. All you holiness ladies, I'm just thrilled that you're in this house tonight. And I can see you coming through Walmart, and I know that's one of them. I'm so glad. You know what that means? That means there's somebody that's made a decision. There's somebody that's decided they're not going to live like the world or be like the world. You can see him coming. Well, praise God. Verse 64, would you say, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. This entire passage here is about decisions. And this psalmist has already told you, I got mugged. I have midnights in my life. But he said, I see mercy. You know what I see? I see a world full of mercy. Now, you do that by choice. You make a decision to see that. You make a decision to see the good. You make a decision to see the positive. It's easy. Any brick brain can line these kids up and can find all the problems with them. I could start right here, would be here all night long. Let me tell you how bad Wendley is. Then I can jump over here to Billy, and my God, all night won't do. We're just going to go on and on about, because I've known you a long time, Billy. You were still in Pampers when we were doing that Bible study. My God, that's a long time. But I mean, if we just started here, we could talk about faults and flaws and mistakes and bad attitudes and wrong. But the psalmist said, you know what I see when I see the world? I see the mercies of God. I see it everywhere I look. Thank God for mercy. Thank God. You know what he did? He made a decision. I have just simply decided. Start talking some trash with me. Start telling me about how bad your friend Patience is. I can't hear you. Because, see, I've made a decision to see mercy and to see goodness. I want to see the best in her. You know, I want to. Can you hear this tonight? That's a decision. That's a decision. Are you sitting there eating the gruel of offense and troubled about other people, and you're talking to other people that are not even there? You're just fussing at them and going through the same thing, and you've been chewing on that same old piece of hard leather for years, griping and offended. It's because you can't see mercy. You can't see mercy for anybody else. You can't see mercy for yourself. But I've made a decision. I know you're made out of flesh. You know, God made that decision when he went to the cross for you. He said, I know you're fallen man. I know you got lousy Adamic nature. I know your carnal mind is never going to be converted. I know your flesh is always going to be the enemy of God. But I'm going to die for you anyway. And I'm going to give you every opportunity. Praise God. You know what? I have found that life is a lot more pleasant when I see mercy all around me. Let's stand together. I made a decision. Somebody say, I need to make a decision. Praise God. I don't see. You know what I look when I look across this congregation? I don't see all your failures and your trouble. And I know more about the failure in this body than anybody in this house. Even, you know, you teenagers, you don't think so. Because you think you know all the failures. And you may know some that I don't know about, because teenagers know all the buzz. But even though I know that, once you've seen God, God knows everything about our hearts and still loves us and still has mercy for us. Praise God. Could we all come down to the altar tonight? What I'd like you to do, come with your family if you would. And with your family, I want you to tell them things like, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If you don't have family here, adopt somebody. If you're first down here, step up on the steps there and make room for folks. But why don't you lay your hands or take the hands of those that you love there? Tell them, I've decided to obey the word of God. I've decided to live an apostolic life. I've decided to see mercy all around me. Praise God. And I want you to just begin to pray for your family. Pray for those that you're in the altar with tonight. Now, if you've been kind of squirrely and sideways about the things of God, you need to firm that up in the altar tonight. God, I've been kind of wishy-washy here. I need to firm up these things. I need to renew my commitment to God. God, I want to live for you with all my heart. I want to serve you. I want you to be not ashamed to be called my God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise God. Now, if you're in the house tonight and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the first place you start with the decision making is repent. And then you receive the Holy Ghost, you could go down in the water in Jesus' name. Those are the places where your decision making begins. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're a husband and wife standing together, you need to tell that husband or that wife, we're not ever going to use the D word, because we've made a decision. We've made a commitment. And if your children are with you, you need to tell those children, I'm always going to be committed to you. I've already made a decision. You don't have to worry. Our house is going to be a house full of the glory of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you just lift up a hand? Lift up your voice.
To follow Jesus.
Praise God.
I have decided. Oh, yes. To follow Jesus.
No turning.